Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today is from our gospel lesson, John chapter 20, and from our epistle lesson, 1 John chapter 1. It begins with the disciples on Easter evening being locked in the upper room for fear of the Jewish authorities. The disciples are scared. They are really scared. They're scared senseless. Why are they so worried? Why are they so scared? They know the tomb is empty. They've heard the report of the women, and they've seen it for themselves. So why are they so frightened if Jesus is risen? Well, there's a couple things going on. First of all, it could be a hoax. They haven't seen Jesus for themselves just yet. Mary Magdalene has. As far as we know, the disciples have not, as of yet. Maybe the Jewish authorities or the Romans have stolen Jesus' body for their own purposes. But even if Jesus is alive, that's not necessarily comforting for the disciples, at least in their own minds. And the reason that would be is because you have to remember what they did the last time they saw Jesus. They ran away. They fled. They let Jesus down when he needed them the most. Now, perhaps Jesus doesn't want to see the disciples. Maybe he's risen from the dead, but he has no desire to be connected with the disciples anymore. Maybe he's rejected them. But there's something even worse that could be a possibility. Maybe Jesus will come, but he'll come in judgment. He'll be angry. Maybe he's angry with the disciples and will judge them for the sins that they have committed over the last few days. You see, the disciples, they have failed badly. They failed as disciples. They refused to be there for their Lord and Master. They failed as friends. They all ran away when he needed them the most. They failed as people. They failed spiritually. They have sinned greatly against the Lord by denying their faith and running away. What will happen? They don't know. But they have a lot to think about. And they are afraid. Now, one of the disciples in the upper room was the Apostle John. He's the author of the gospel. He's the author of the epistle lesson today. And in the epistle lesson, he speaks by inspiration of the Holy Spirit on the importance of confessing our sins. And that's what I want to focus on today, because it's important to understand the need for honesty, the necessity of confession, and the joy of forgiveness. Let's talk first about the need for honesty. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 says, "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." I think as human beings, we spend a lot of time lying. Lying to other people, lying to ourselves about how good we are. You know, some people just love to say things like, you know, I feel like I've never done anything wrong. Or, you know, I feel like I'm a really good person. We tend to base our goodness on our feelings. But it doesn't matter if you feel like it. Sin is sin. You've either sinned or you haven't. Now, we have to examine ourselves according to an objective standard. We have to examine ourselves according to God's holy and perfect law. The law that we find summarized in the Ten Commandments from Exodus chapter 20. Or else the law as we find it explained by Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. And in those words of Scripture, we can see God's objective standard for us. It is not being nice. It is not being good. It is being perfect. It is being holy. It is being righteous. It is being without sin. We need to be honest with God and honest with ourselves. And when we are objectively honest, we see how we fall short of fulfilling God's law. We don't love God with our whole heart, mind, and strength. We don't love our neighbor as ourself. We're self-absorbed. We're self-centered and just plain selfish. In other words, we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Or as Psalm 53 verse 3 says, there is no one who does good, not even one. And we know what sin means. Sin means judgment. We're like those disciples in the upper room wondering what judgment we may have earned for ourselves. Because we ourselves, by our sinfulness, we have failed as Jesus' disciples. We have failed to follow him. We have failed as Jesus' friends. We've not loved him the way we should. And we have failed as people. We have sinned in our thoughts and in our words and in our deeds. And that's why 1 John 1:8 says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And of course, we know the wages of sin. We know that we've brought judgment on ourselves. So 1 John 1:8 is really bad news for us. But 1 John 1:8 is not the end of 1 John. In fact, 1 John 1:8 is followed by more verses. In fact, there's a verse right after 1 John 1:8. I call it 1 John 1:9. And it says this: if we confess our sins. 1 John 1:8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. 1 John 1:9. But if we confess our sins, something good will happen. And that brings us to point number two, the necessity of confession. It's important to be honest. And once we realize that we are sinners, God wants us to confess our sins. Confessing our sins for the Christian is not optional. It is something we must do. In fact, we start our services by confessing our sins. It is important. It is of first priority that we confess our sins. Now, it is not easy to do. In order to confess our sins, we have to humble ourselves and admit that we are wrong. Back in the 1970s, there was a great show called Happy Days. And in Happy Days, there was a character called Arthur Fonzarelli. He was the Fonz. He was the coolest guy in Milwaukee. He did everything right. He was cool. He always said the right thing, always did the right thing. But there were occasions when he did something wrong. But he had a hard time, and it was funny because even when he knew he was wrong, he just couldn't get the words out. So he would say, Ralph, he couldn't say it. And we're the same way. We have trouble getting the words out, confessing our sin, saying, it's my fault, my own most grievous fault. We hate to admit we are wrong. We hate to admit we're sinful. To anyone else, or to ourselves, or to God. But if we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves. The truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, something wonderful will happen. Because if we confess, what we find is mercy. Concealing is not an option. Proverbs 28 verse 13 says, whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will find mercy. Concealing is not an option. God says in Proverbs 28, whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper. We need to be honest, be humble, and admit that we are wrong and that we are sinners. Great things happen when we are willing to confess our sins. Miraculous things happen when we confess our sins. Joyful things happen when we confess our sins. That's what the scripture is all about. That's why First John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is the good news of the gospel. That when we confess our sins, God is willing to forgive them. He who conceals his sins does not prosper. But whoever confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. As far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed our transgressions from us. Psalm 103:12. That's what the cross and the empty tomb are all about. It's all about forgiveness for our sins. Jesus didn't go to the cross because he thought we were perfect. Jesus went to the cross because he knew we are sinners. And when we realize we are sinners, we go back to the cross and we go back to the empty tomb to see that our sins are truly and completely forgiven. Which brings us back to Easter. Easter morning, the tomb is empty. The angels give the report to the women. The women report back to the disciples. He is not here. He is risen. But the disciples are scared. Why are they scared? Because they failed. Because they've done wrong. They have sinned in a big way against the Lord. And they're wondering if maybe judgment might be coming their way. That's why the first words Jesus speaks to them are so important. Again, remember the situation. The disciples realize they have failed as disciples. They failed as friends. They failed as people. They have sinned. And how will the Lord react? Is he coming in anger as the righteous judge to punish them for their sins? Will he punish the disciples for their unfaithfulness? Listen to these words of scripture. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. Four simple words, and that changed everything. Jesus comes and stands among them in that locked room and says, peace be with you. The word peace in Greek is eirene. In Hebrew, it's shalom. But you get the idea either way. No judgment, no punishment, no lectures, no sermons, no I told you so's, just peace. He leaves no doubt that their sins have been forgiven, that they have been reconciled, and their relationship has been restored. They have been forgiven, and then he gives them a mission. This same forgiveness that I have given to you, I want you to go share that with the world. Whosoever sins you forgive, they will be forgiven. Whosoever sins you don't forgive, they will not be forgiven. It is the office of the keys, and it is the power of forgiveness. And that is the great power that God has given to his church. The ability to forgive the sins of sinners, because that's what God wants to do. God is in the forgiveness business, and that means the church is also in the forgiveness business. Proverbs 28 again. Whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. Psalm 103, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. 1 John chapter 1, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's why we say it in the liturgy, the peace of the Lord be with you always. It's always connected. That peace is always connected to forgiveness of sins. We have peace with God through the forgiveness Jesus Christ has won for us through the cross and through the empty tomb. And that forgiveness is a miracle that changes us from the inside out. Now, when the disciples hear these words of Jesus, that's all they need to hear. That's all they needed to hear. And immediately, it says, their fear turns into joy. One moment, they are scared of their own shadows. Now there is no more fear because perfect love casts out fear. Their fear is replaced with joy. John 20, verse 20 says, when Jesus had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. The Greek there is the Greek word for rejoice. Same one in Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. They rejoiced. They could not contain their joy. They were exceedingly glad because they knew Jesus had forgiven them. He was not holding their sins against them. The forgiveness he had won on the cross, he had won for them. And their relationship with their Lord is restored. It would change their life forever. Four words. Peace be with you. Those words give them joy. You know, God filled his disciples with his peace and with his joy through the forgiveness of sins. And that's exactly what the Lord wants to do for us. God wants to fill our lives with his peace and with his joy. He fills us with his peace and joy through his gift, the forgiveness of sins. And that gift is given to us through word and sacrament. We can leave this place today forgiven by Christ, and we can live with this peace and live a life of peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.